This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy.
Let's be honest. Loving your partner doesn't mean you always like them, and guess what? That's normal. Regain offers couples therapy that's flexible, affordable, and 100% online.
Whether you're reconnecting or working through conflict, Regain is here to support you both.
See why people wish they'd try couples therapy sooner. Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. That's regain.com/couplespod.
Hey, Michael Steele podcast listeners, Michael Steele here with another quick take from the Michael Steele podcast. Check out what's going on right now.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Michael Steele podcast. My guest today is Adam Epstein. He is the host of Dirty Moderate with Adam Epstein. Great podcast out there for moderate for lovers of democracy and seeking shelter from the polarization and autocracy that seems to be confounding us. So you've got right now, Adam, a series of national angst around the U.S. policy in the Middle East with respect to Israel and Palestine, playing out on our college campuses across the country. The more progressive members of our communities have been made it very clear, certainly within the Democratic Party and to this president and his administration, that, you know, not only do they want a ceasefire, but they want the U.S. to stop using American dollars, resources to fund the killing of children in Palestine, among other issues that they're concerned about. How are those narratives on the left compared to narratives on the right that are focused on election integrity and efforts to control outcomes at the ballot box? These competing storylines playing out for voters out there. And which one do you think will either last the longest or have the greatest impact?
Well, you know, let me first say, I covered a lot of, on my show a lot. I've done many episodes on it, but I'm a lifelong Zionist. I'm a very big supporter of Israel. The Democratic Party in the last 5 or 6 years, even with people on the squad and elsewhere, kind of beginning the move away from a bipartisan consensus on what Israel should receive in terms of foreign aid. And the Iron Dome has been very worrisome to me. October 7th was horrific. And look, we can have a whole military show here. We can talk about, I'm not a military strategist, but I follow this stuff carefully. I think that it's very difficult, and it's a very difficult discussion because Hamas uses its own people as weapons and shields. There's 300 miles of tunnels built under there. It's not as simple as Israel's killing innocent people. That doesn't mean no civilians have been killed, but civilians are killed in war. And Israel is defending it. I don't believe Israel. Don't believe Hamas can stay in power. If Hamas remains in power, doesn't, again, I know it doesn't kill every terrorist. I've heard all these arguments, not saying do what we did in Iraq, but we have to remove a militarized Gaza. They do, I think. I just believe that. So let me say that out front. Okay, that's my position. So count me in with the pro-Israel crowd. That's where I am. Okay. Do I think Palestinians deserve a two-state? Of course. Do I think they deserve a better life? Yes, but that they can have a state when they want a state. Do you know what I mean? There's been eight tries. You know, I mean, people, that's the thing. We talk about history. What about what Bill Clinton tried to do with Ehud Barak? 93% of the West Bank, all of Gaza. And this was before Israel left Gaza. There's been a lot of history that's not been discussed here. And you can listen, I don't think Bibi Netanyahu's a great guy. I'm not saying that. But I also am more concerned about a barbaric terrorist entity than I am a right-wing Israeli government. That's where I stand. As it relates to the campus protests, the majority of America supports Israel, thinks they have a right to exist in every way. And unfortunately, I think they see campus, well, I shouldn't say unfortunately, I think the way it's playing out is, I think the center, people who would like, who actually have supported Biden being talking about Israel, see a lack of leadership and a weakness here and a kind of weird accommodation of these campus protests, which I don't think are hitting in the way the left thinks they are. I don't think it's because
I agree with that. Yeah.
I really don't. And I also, sorry, Yes, I admit to being a Zionist. I'm not religious, but I'm sorry. The civil rights protests and protests in the Vietnam War are not the same thing as chanting.
It's not, this is not 1968, baby.
Yeah, and it's in intifada on a campus. You know, it's one thing if all of these protests, which, by the way, many of which, not encampments, but remember, protests started October 8th. It's one thing if from the get-go, everybody said, we want a safe and secure Israel, but we want BBF. That's not what people say. Right. You're hearing it go to a place. That doesn't mean everybody who's at these encampments is necessarily anti-Semitic or hates Jews, obviously. But I think there's the movement itself comes from a large amount of academic rot. You know, I studied some of the stuff I know, of just being indoctrinating a lot of philosophies that create, I think, myths about colonialism and myths about power and race that I think are, for me, are just untrue and are not intellectually coherent. To the point about your other question about election integrity, I think those are such important things that do not get the news. I mean, yeah. I've done election security on my show. It's not a sexy subject, but it's so important. Like when we know how safe the 2020 election was, given that, by the way, Donald Trump, back to him, how can we forget him, has not conceded the 2020 election. How about that? Right. I mean, we still talk. This is insane. So I'm saying when we talk about that, it's such an important issue. But to people in the middle, right, that person, I speak to, again, everything's anecdotal to the extent, unless you poll people. Oh, God, I'm so worried about abortion. Oh, I hate MAGA. But, man, this is getting crazy on the campuses. These are like Hamas supporters now. And a lot of them are. Not everybody. And it's just, it's not registering. Social media is having a backfire on that because plenty of people in the middle, don't like it. And don't forget the majority of Americans, many of whom are religious Christians, but not all, they support Israel. But, there's no right. like affection for a protest movement against Israel, even in its excesses. I'm not saying that there isn't turn in popularity, but overwhelmingly, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think there is either, and which is why these two issues really are kind of placeholders for other issues that sort of fall within their space and really kind of collectively. So on the one side, you'd have something like abortion. And on the other side, the electoral side question, you'd have, something along the lines of, what we see talked about in the Heritage 2025 plan,
right,
or a presidential nominee saying he wants to be a dictator, really kind of become placeholders for sort of the domestic side of the narrative for voters and the democracy side of the narrative for voters. And the question becomes, which one at the end of the day prevails? In 18 and 22, we could make the case, 20 and 22, could make the case that the democracy side prevailed. Why you didn't have a blue wave, because at the end of the day, you had issues about individual rights for women that were being stripped away constitutionally by the Dobbs decision. So it was abortion, but more fundamentally was this right was ours for 50 years, a right that my daughter and my granddaughter will no longer enjoy. So it's interesting how these questions and these issues are sort of, it's like watching something gravitate to a particular space. Are you going to have more in this space over here or more in that space over there? And where do the voters align themselves ultimately?
I've always said, Michael, you should share the Republican Party. I've always said, because I've never had a taste, still don't, for big government invading people's lives, especially their personal lives.
Yep.
I have devoutly approached, I'm a sex, drugs, and rock and roll libertarian in that way. Okay. First of all, I'm gay. So I obviously support gay rights, but I didn't have to be gay to support gay rights.
Right.
Gay marriage, reproductive rights. These are okay. You know what I mean? All this stuff, the decriminalization of marijuana, get the government out of this. Okay. Because I will argue the government's too big economically too, but I can't then say to you, well, it should do all this stuff. Right. Stop telling parents who have teenagers who are questioning their gender identity. That's not your business. Okay. Right. It's just not your business. So all of which is to say, I can't blame women for seeing something stripped away that shouldn't have been stripped away in a terrible Supreme Court decision.
Right.
The question then becomes, though, and I still think this is true, and I say, so if the Republican Party were truly fiscally conservative, I don't mean I don't mean passing all the infrastructure things to the Democrats. I mean, a fiscally conservative party that really cut taxes, theoretically paid for them, you know, and combine that with a limited government, a social tolerance, cultural tolerance, I think they would be sweeping elections left and right. But they've never been that. We don't have that party.
We don't have that.
Yeah. We don't have that. I know people say it's a Democrat. No, it's not the Democrats. The Democrats believe, have a faith in government I don't have, because I don't think human nature can be socially engineered. That's a whole separate debate. So I can't, you know, every passing law after law might be an accomplishment. That doesn't ring, what's the word? Doesn't get me going that much.
Right.
Because I'm skeptical of it. But you better believe I'm skeptical, right, of MAGA, right? I don't know if it's Rick Wilson called them big government conservatives. And DeSantis, all they do is use the state to punish people.
That's
with
it.
The people they disagree with, which is completely antithetical to the whole idea of what the party was birthed for, the modern Republican Party. So that's bullshit, too.
Well, you know? It goes to the heart of...
And I attack them all the time. You know, if people... I get called the left-winger, right-winger, depends on the day.
Right, right, exactly.
As a moderate, you know.
Exactly. In my space, they just called me a rhino. So there it
right,
is.
Right, I mean, a rhino, right. I know. That goes
so you're kind of a lino.
I'm a lino, right.
But Adam, the interesting thing is, particularly on this sort of libertarian part of the Republican narrative, I mean, that's always been sort of what one of the core anchors of who we were.
Yeah.
Because we did see a limited role for government, and it had no place in the decision making of a woman or a man or a family or a community, and to the extent that it touched on education, which is why education is a local matter, or healthcare, which is that something between you and your doctor, you know, how you raise your children. And yet on this issue of abortion, for example, we've turned the table where we've now become the big government Republicans who are telling people the government says is dictating the terms of when you or if you or are able to have a child, IVF, or have an abortion, yes or no. I mean, these are questions. And the thing about it that's so frustrating is that we tend to paint with such a broad brush and say that, well, all these abortions were on the decline.
Yeah.
The country had settled, it come to a settled space on this issue. And actually, the pro-life argument was catching on with people saying,
I had David French on my show, okay, who you I'm sure you know very well.
I know
well.
David well,
He gave the most eloquent explanation. I am devoutly pro-choice. He gave the most eloquent explanation of the meaning of why he's pro-life.
Yep.
But he's not punitive. So in other words, I just want less abortions. I believe it's murder.
Right.
I want it to be. Many people of good faith believe that. The problem then becomes people who go, because the natural question is, okay, you went out, and this was asked for years. Chris Matthews famously asked Trump this. This goes back in the day we used to debate abortion. Okay, who goes to jail, the woman or the doctor? Because that's what ends up happening in the conversation, which makes me, whoa, I'm like, this is un-American crap. I'm pro-choice, as I said, but even if I weren't, why is the government controlling a woman's uterus? What are you talking about? The doctor's going to start jailing people? This is insane.
Right.
And so stuff is a gift to the Democrats. And I think the one thing you've seen, look at all the red states, seven of them that have codified abortion rights, from Ohio to Kansas to Montana, because this is a political loser for Republicans. That doesn't mean that everybody who's pro-life is a bad person. As
That's
I said,
right.
You know, it's not an either or. Good conscience, good faith, people have religious reasons. But if you're then going to say, yes, but I'm going to put your daughter in jail. Okay, well then that matter of conscience is no longer that. It becomes a punitive public policy. I actually think violates the Establishment Clause, but that's another argument.
So I just to you know prove the point.
Yeah,
I had a conversation with one of my hothead conservative friends, and who was all about. I mean, he was an absolutist on the issue.
Right.
Absolute. Absolute ban on abortion. No exceptions for rape, life of the mother, or incest. And I looked at him, I said, I completely understand your position, but I do have one question for you. So when your 14-year-old daughter is raped by a Black man, what are you going to do then?
Oh,
are you buying Pampers? Are you going to be the happy grandpa?
He didn't know how to handle that.
Are you going to be the happy grandpa who looks at that child every day and who's now,
I
you
know.
Know, my complexion?
I know.
What and oh, we won't even do we need to talk about the 9 months your daughter's carrying that child and what that says, what she's saying, what's saying to her, being said to her in her neighborhood by her friends and all of this other stuff that you're not taking into consideration. And of course, he got mad at me and walked away.
Right.
But that's the reality. And that's the reality of a lot of women and young girls out there that find themselves in unfortunate situations. And there is no one there for them because of that reaction. They just walk away. You deal with it. Your problem.
But it's
the problem you've created for me. In one sense, by saying I have no options under the Constitution or the law
right.
to consider anything else, and you're forcing my hand now. And I say this as someone who is pro-life and
right.
who has advocated for yes. life and pro-life because I was adopted, so I understand.
Right,
what
and I understand
means.
Your, but I understand your position.
Right, right.
That's what I do. I mean, that's the whole. Everyone you disagree with is not your enemy. Okay, and
right.
the other thing
exactly.
is to the Joe Biden, the larger back to the presidential point. The negative thing, not to take us too off topic, but it's all on topic. I think.
Right.
Trump broke the left and the Democratic resistance in the worst way because he made things so corrosive and crazy. Sometimes you got back to the polls is that they sometimes lose their bearings. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Everybody then is now you're on the red team and you're on the blue team. And if you're not on that team, you're out. You know what I mean? And I remember back when I was still a Democrat and I wasn't on my podcast yet, but I'd be posting stuff. And if I posted stuff that seemed just buck the party line, like two likes, you know, nobody know what to do with it. It weren't so much attacking me. People's tribalism kicks in, you know? And my point in saying this is, why do we have to agree? I don't agree with Joe Biden a lot of stuff, but I'm gonna vote for him.
Right.
What's that?
Right.
What happened to that? I grew up in a Democratic house. My grandparents were more political than my parents in the age of Reagan. We didn't sit around at the dinner table every night and argue about it. Sorry, blast Reagan and say our life was ruined about it. Trump, of course, is Ronald Reagan. but my point is, why can't people go to the polls and say, look, I don't agree with, you know, if I'd been in the legislature, I was for the infrastructure bill and chips and signs. I'm not for the Anti-Inflation Act. I think some of the COVID spending's too much. I would have done things differently on the border. I have policy differences.
Right.
But Liz Cheney said, we can live through bad policy. We can't live through Trump 2.0. Why is this, you know, the questions we're asking ourselves, but why do you have to agree with your president? I think Trump, he was a symptom of that. We were headed there, but it's an insane conversation that you have to sign on to all these things, or otherwise you can't vote for the person, right?
So I asked you and before we went to break, what was your worst fear about Trump? What's your worst fear about a Biden reelect?
Here's the truthful answer. I don't have a problem with Kamala Harris. I'm not on the hater team.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think she should be president of the United States if he dies? I'm not so sure. I'm not convinced.
Mm-hmm.
What I don't understand, and I really want to like her, is why every interview 3.5 years is so clumsy and inartful. I just don't get what's going on there. Maybe someone can send me the vice president of the stage. You got a team. You know, you're sitting down with Lester Holt, Michael Steele, whatever. You're just not ready. You're just not ready. How are you not ready? What am I doing? I have Leslie Stahl tonight. I didn't read my briefing book. I'm rooting for her. I just don't get
it.
I don't get it. And I understand what I feel. Look, of course there's racism and sexism there, but
right.
there's other people that go, what's going on? But that's not the primary thing. I had to say that. I am so uncomfortable with the Democratic movement toward certain kind of cultural leftism, especially on Israel and other issues. It makes me nervous. And I think Biden is the last of a generation. Biden, my mentor, Bob Graham, who just died there. Biden, even as a Zionist, these days are over. And there's a new generation coming in. And who's in the administration? Now, granted, they're not overthrowing the government. They're not threatening democracy.
Right.
These are policy differences. But I do worry about who's in charge. I don't mean that he's senile. I don't mean that. I just mean who's coming down the pike.
Right, right. What's the next generation that's going to pick up the mantle and move forward? Right.
I'm also not convinced by foreign policy. I mean, I'm certainly behind him on Ukraine, but it's like, look, Iran's the thing. If you don't deal with Iran, if you appease Iran and fund Iran, they're the root of all this, and you right. have to deal with it. I don't want to go to war with Iran, but I'm saying you've got to live in the real world with that. And I don't see a policy on that. So there are things, none again, because I've always had the thing in my head, but what about Trump? Yeah, Trump is manifestly unfit. He's a lowlife. I know. But I'm talking about if Biden got in, what's the policy? You know, I voted for Obama twice, for example, but I thought his second term in foreign policy really, really shat the bed. And we're paying for some of those mistakes. I didn't know that at the time. I rather liked Mitt Romney. I would have voted yeah. for him. But it turned out to be prophetic. I just want to know yeah. what the policies are. It, again, in answer to your question, if we are Trump's defeated, you know, what is Biden going to do? I mean, maybe it's more of the same. I don't know. One would think several years after the pandemic, right, inflation rates would continue to come down and maybe there'd be better job creation, although I guess that's been good, I guess.
Right.
I'm not somebody who wants to throw numbers at people if they tell me they're struggling. I just don't find that, you know, oh, things yeah. are, well, maybe it's not great for them. That doesn't mean they're voting for Trump, but I understand right. if somebody says, you know, what I don't understand is when you're talking to educated people of a certain demographic and they're like, yeah, you got to get Trump back. This guy's weak. It's like, no one's weaker than Trump. Nobody's weaker than Trump. He's the most childish, insecure, narcissistic jerk, dirtbag. There's nobody weaker. That's what makes me, by the way, with the Kim Jong-un, I'm sure you've said this, but if you haven't used it, the Kim Jong-un and the love letters and Putin.
Right.
Yeah, of course he seems strong on the stage. Those guys knew how to play him like a fiddle.
Oh, they did.
They knew it was, that's the thing. It's not foreign policy genius. He loves him because all you have to say is, Trump, you're great. Michael, if you and I went on tomorrow, went to his Mar-a-Lago and told him he's great. He's out. Michael Steele's the greatest, the best podcast. Adam Epstein's are great. He's a nothing. He's a Trumpist.
That is so true.
I hate the whole like Biden is weak thing. I mean,
of all the criticism between you and myself, if we were to come out and say, you know, at the end of the day, yeah. I look at Trump, he's the best thing for the country right now. He would say, yeah, he wasn't with me before, but he's with me now. And he's
say, I'm gonna make him, he'd be great at the RNC. Great guy, great guy. Right, worked exactly. against Obama, whatever he's come up with, whatever the hell he was, you know, that's BS. But at the same time, the thing that Dirty Moderate we do is I understand that only caring about democracy can feel like a luxury. It's an essential thing to care about, primary. But right. I get it. If somebody says, look, I can't afford to care about that, I got to vote. Then it's a harder sell. Even if you say Trump doesn't offer anything, which I always say, what's he going to do for inflation? I mean, well, what's he going to do?
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for listening today. Please go to Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star review. Heck, give us 2 5-star reviews. I love it. Or catch us on Stitcher, iHeart, TuneIn, or wherever you get that podcast thing on. You know how that goes. Peace out.
Facepalm America is a show for progressives and others on the left who want to keep up with the ridiculousness that this country dishes out, find out what cable news misses when they're waiting for Trump to appear at a podium, and also, every once in a while, get a laugh at how silly this hot mess of a nation of ours really is. If that's you, listen to Facepalm America. You can go to facepalmamerica.com or find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.